want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's come on.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, guess what? Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Happy Trash Tuesday. That's right. If there is anything or anyone that's been bugging you or irking you under your skin like a creepy crawler, today is the day once a week where we get to take out the trash, get it off your chest, vent a little bit. We'll do that this morning on the show for us, coming up here in about an hour from now. But you guys can get in your trashes all morning long, and I'll take your phone calls or read them on the air via Twitter. So on the phones, if you want to jump into the fray, get into the mix, let's do it at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, fellow D-Aliens, you can tweet at me, DA on CBS, and let me know what's bugging you there, and I'll read them. DA on CBS, I'll read those coming up on the air this morning. How about this? Jimmy Garoppolo is going to join us. Hour number four. Jimmy G, of course, has been at the front and center of so much conversation this offseason. If he's the starter, if he'll get traded, does somebody else want him like the Patriots? Is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch convinced with him being the starting quarterback? Why are they trading up? Why are they drafting Trey Lance? Now, how much longer does Jimmy G have there? He has been at the absolute center of so many different topics. So it's going to be fascinating to get Jimmy Garoppolo on the show in hour number four. Very much looking forward to that. Elsewhere this morning, coming up in 40 minutes, the Tennessee Titans have another embarrassing draft incident we'll discuss coming up this hour. LeBron does not like the play-in game situation, the play-in tournament for the NBA's 7 through 11 seeds, or 7 through 10 seeds, but is he being a hypocrite? Also, the Vikings drafting Kirk Cousins' potential replacement. Tom Brady weighs in on what it would mean for him to have gone 18-19-0, winning that Super Bowl. And you might be surprised at how much he'd be willing to give up. The Bucks had a huge win over the weekend over the Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk about the Bucks as contenders and plenty on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers, of course, has gone to one Super Bowl. He has won that one Super Bowl, but has not been back now more than a decade. That was the 2010 NFL season. So you're talking about now 11 years removed from Rodgers' last trip to the Super Bowl. Terry Bradshaw has four of those bad boys. And Bradshaw joined Moose and Maggie yesterday on WFAN in New York. And Moose and Maggie asked Terry Bradshaw about the Aaron Rodgers situation, and Terry did not hold back. Now, it's interesting because you might remember Terry Bradshaw at the Super Bowl in Miami 2 years ago. This would have been the Chiefs and Niners Super Bowl. Joined us on Radio Row. And on Radio Row that week, we were discussing the infamous get away from me, buddy situation. For the uninitiated alien out there that might not have been caught up on this story, a couple of years ago, Mraz lost a bet more things change, the more things stay the same around here. He had been forced to go out to Central Park wearing nothing but a pink Speedo. His chubby flesh dressed in nothing but some type of Crisco oil to which we could stick bird seed and then have him parade around Central Park having the birds and the geese bite at him. We took pictures of this, posted a video, actually edited a Nomad together. And when we were in Scottsdale, Arizona, that following March for the Final Four, there was Aaron Rodgers at a Scottsdale bar. And Mraz went up to Rodgers and wanted to show him this whole scene on his phone because ultimately Rodgers had caused it. The bet was based on whether the Giants would beat the Packers in that wild card playoff game. Rodgers had slayed the Giants, meaning that Mraz was stuck without clothing in Central Park, nothing but birdseed all over his plump body. And so Rodgers, without even seeing the photo on Mraz's phone, stared daggers into his eyes with an icy glare and said, "Get away from me, buddy." To which, of course, Mraz was down in the ground like a heap, like he was shot from the balcony. Oh! So fast forward to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and we had brought this up to Terry Bradshaw, figuring, well, Rodgers is a future Hall of Fame QB. What would a actual present-day Hall of Fame QB think about this? And Bradshaw was on our side. Bradshaw apologized, saying that wasn't right by Aaron Rodgers. So we got our first inkling that Bradshaw would break from camp, and he would talk about how exactly he felt, and that didn't mean always protecting a fellow great NFL quarterback. Well, yesterday he did one better, because on WFAN in New York, not only did he question Aaron Rodgers for demanding a trade, but he also called him weak sauce. It is where we begin your cold open.
For him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fired the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak. You know, how dare you draft somebody? Or, you know, I played better. What did he say? I played better than they thought I would. Or I don't know. Oh, me being the MVP really screwed them, you know, really messed them up. Well, you're going to make, I don't know how much money. That obviously he doesn't need the money. So probably he's just retire and go do Jeopardy. That's the way I look at it.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Bradshaw would go on to say, it shows me how weak he is. Who the hell cares about who you draft? He's a three-time MVP, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, when Bradshaw mentions Cliff Stout and others, Mark Malone, Bradshaw is right there. Terry Bradshaw, his history is, he was drafted number one overall by the Steelers in 1970. Even by 1972, they had drafted another QB. Now, back in that day, there were 17 rounds, so drafting a quarterback wasn't always a direct threat to the starting QB. But they did have Joe Gilliam, who they drafted in the 11th round in 72. And you might remember that before Bradshaw really settled in as the Super Bowl winning QB in 74 and beyond, he was clashing with Chuck Knoll constantly, as Knoll just did not trust Bradshaw play in, play out, game in, game out. So he was dealing with competition at a very early point in his career, and the competition itself really defined Terry Bradshaw's career, because whether it was Joe Gilliam or somebody else, they did consistently challenge him to be a better QB as his entire career wore on. They drafted in 1976 after Bradshaw had had two Super Bowl runs already, Mike Krucek, in the 1976 NFL draft in the second round. So again, there was a challenger to Bradshaw. That was the second round. They ended up drafting Cliff Stout, who was basically Bradshaw's backup for the second half of his career, in the fifth round a couple of years later. And then they did draft Mark Malone in the first round in 1980. So just if you're keeping score, they drafted a quarterback in the first round, in the second round, in the fifth round, in the 11th round, four different QBs over the course of his starting career, and early in his career before the 74 Super Bowl, had him dangled in and out of the lineup because the coaching staff didn't trust him being the starter. So Bradshaw actually has a lot of credibility when he talks about this. And Bradshaw actually is telling the truth, and he said, I had to fend them all off. He's right. There was not a lot of faith in Bradshaw early in his tenure, or maybe even late in his tenure. I think when you say that Rodgers is weak, it's maybe a little bit strong in my estimation. I don't know if I would characterize him as weak. I think petty is definitely a way that I would describe him. And creating chips on his shoulder and believing people are out to get him and he wants to prove everybody wrong. And yes, petty again, I keep coming back to that. That's what I would keep saying about Rodgers. Because there is absolutely an element of truth to what Bradshaw is saying here. You're Aaron freaking Rodgers. So what, they drafted your replacement? Why would you worry or be put off by a guy like Jordan Love? You're the MVP. Wouldn't you just embrace essentially an unknown that you can beat him out, and who cares? It's only a guy from Utah State. So I think there's some validity there to that take. Then why is Rodgers even bothered or worried? But I will say that, again, would Bradshaw say this about every other Hall of Fame QB that got bent out of shape because they drafted his replacement? You know, this happened again in San Francisco when Joe Montana was a four-time Super Bowl winner. They brought in Steve Young after the first two rings, and Montana resented it. This happened in New England when Tom Brady, after winning four rings, they brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, and he resented it. It is the way of the world. It happened when Aaron Rodgers was brought in to replace Brett Favre, and Favre had been to two Super Bowls, and Favre resented it. I mean, this is kind of the whole bit. And is Bradshaw going to say all of those other guys were weak as well? I've never heard anybody call Joe Montana weak. I've never heard anybody call Tom Brady weak. So I doubt that. Is Rodgers more petty than those other guys? Maybe. But I think here's the credibility when it comes to Rodgers' side of things. I think he wanted help to win a Super Bowl now. And instead, they drafted a quarterback that couldn't help them win a Super Bowl. And I think that these types of things spiral a little out of control for guys like Rodgers and Russell Wilson and maybe Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson to a lesser degree when they see Tom Brady seemingly get everything that he wants in Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl with it. And they start saying, well, why wouldn't you give me everything that I want? And specifically for Rodgers, who's also a future Hall of Fame QB, saying, we've been dying to win another Super Bowl for a decade, and here you are wasting a first-round pick on my replacement. Why not spend that pick on something that helps us win a Super Bowl? That frustration I agree with. That frustration going back to last year, I have been on board with since the moment that they drafted Jordan Love. Why are you not helping the cause in winning a Super Bowl now? Why are you worried about the moments after Rodgers wins, or after Rodgers retires, rather? Don't worry about that. Worry about the here and the now, as you have one of the best quarterbacks ever. The part that I don't support Rodgers with is being so petty as to where you demand somebody gets fired or else you will retire. Me or him, fire him. So is Rodgers going to feel better if the Packers fire Gutekunst? And then he's going to come to work and be like, oh, yeah, all right, now let's compete here, guys. I'm glad that guy lost his job. Because it's not like Gutekunst has been a bad GM either. Calling Rodgers weak? I don't know if I would go there, but Bradshaw has credibility in that space. He dealt with all of those challengers over the course of his career. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, it is time for Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. We get to hear RG3 with a little saltiness about a former competition of his at the QB position, and Matt Rhule talking about his wife. What could be better than that to start off your Tuesday? It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Good morning, and remember that you can always listen to the show on your phone. You can stream us using the radio.com app, which is now the Odyssey app. It is updated on your phone if you try to update it. Also, you can listen to us on the CBS Sports app as well. That's completely free. Listen to the show on your phone each and every morning. In terms of Soundcheck, your best audio of the day this morning, let's start with Dave Gettleman, also on Moose and Maggie on WFAN. Big day for them on whether the Giants would explore trading for Aaron Rodgers. Here's the Giants GM.
Do you owe it to yourselves as a franchise, to the fan base, to your owners, whatever, to at least explore what that would look like for the New York Giants?
You know, you explore everything. You explore everything, Maggie. But at the end of the day, we'll make our decisions. And, you know, we believe in Daniel. I said that last week. Hadn't changed. And we'll just keep moving.
Would that prevent you, though, from reaching out to either Rodgers or Wilson's camp or those teams?
I don't want to talk hypotheticals.
I guess if you're the Giants and you're Dave Gettleman, obviously you have to, like any GM in the league, make a phone call. Hey, what's the seriousness of this? Hey, are you trading him? Hey, what's going on there? Is there anything to talk about? But again, is Rodgers interested in being a Giant? Is Rodgers interested in going to a team that was sub 500 last year? I mean, I suppose that anything is possible if Rodgers is interested in the Broncos and the Raiders as well, but that feels, at least reportedly, like it's more like being on the West Coast, closer to where his wife is an actress in L.A. in Hollywood, and perhaps closer to the Jeopardy studios as well. I'm not sure. I mean, of course, New York is a huge media market, but that, of course, takes you farther and farther away from Los Angeles. I think every GM has to just text Gutekunst or somebody in Green Bay and say, hey, what's the level of seriousness here? Do you want to engage in the trade discussions? But I'm not sure if there's any mutual interest where Aaron Rodgers would want to go to a team that couldn't even win the division at 7-9 last year. Meantime, here's RG3. And for RG3, he was joined by host on the Bleach Report and discussed the choice of the Vikings to draft Kellen Mond perhaps as a replacement to Kirk Cousins. Here's RG3.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, number 8 in Minnesota is probably not real happy right now because Kellen Mond represents exactly what he doesn't do well, right? Kellen Mond's the big physical quarterback. He can run it, throw it all over the field. And I don't think that that's something that number 8 is able to do in Cousins in Minnesota. But I think that's what the coaching staff and the administration is looking for. Cousins has been collecting checks there in Minnesota for a long time, taking them to 8-8 and 9-7 seasons. If he has a bad start to the year like he did last year, I could see the fans and maybe the organization leaning towards Mund if he comes in and impresses.
Oh, that's a little salt right there by RG3. There's no doubt that's a little salt. Cousins collecting checks up there in Minnesota, going 7-9, 8-8. Oh, That is a disgruntled, that is a frustrated, that is a salty, bitter RG3 after Cousins took his job in Washington. There's no doubt that there's bitterness that exists from RG3. But here's the thing about RG3. Of course he can be bitter about the injury. Of course he can be bitter about his knee just giving out and him never having the same mobility and athleticism ever again as he did that NFL rookie of the year season and going to the playoffs. But RG3 had other opportunities to be a starting quarterback in the NFL after Washington, and it has flamed out everywhere. He's a fine backup. Don't get us wrong. Of course, everybody in the NFL knows this. He's a fine backup. But in terms of starting QB, Kirk Cousins is still actually doing that, has done that for far longer than RG3. So I don't think it's just about that Cousins is collecting a check and RG3 feels like, oh man, I would be so much better there. You know, you've had some chances here, RG. And finally, here is RG3's, well, his alma mater's former head coach and Matt Rhule, as he was discussing Chuba Hubbard on day three of the draft and how Matt Rhule's wife actually weighed into the decision. Here it is.
What's up, man? You know, I couldn't sit there and watch you run wild on me all those years at Baylor and not take you when I had a chance.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
This is true. Oh, this is true. I got to tell you this, man. About 10 minutes ago, my wife texted me and said, please take Chuba Hubbard. So she speaks, it happens. We're excited to have you, man.
Yes, sir. Excited to be there with you.
Hey, here's our owner, Mr. Tepper.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, you made it easy for the coach right now. Because his wife, that's actually absolutely true story. Show me the text. She said, you better come home and you better have you. I'm telling you the truth. It's a damn truth. Anyways, congratulations. Yes, glad to have you.
Thank you.
That's a little awkward. I mean, okay, we get it. Yep, Matt Rhule's wife wants a Chuba Hubbard. All right. No, no, seriously. She really loves you. No, really. She wants to meet you, like, right away. Like, hey, what are you doing for dinner on Thursday? Because she wants to make this, like, huge roast for you. And we were hoping that you would come over and, you know, spend a couple of hours, maybe meet the kids and everything. And by the way, are you babysitting? Are you free to babysit maybe this Saturday night? I mean, we'll just hang out and have like a Netflix night with you. But she really, really, really wants to meet you. Okay, we get it. Matt Rhule's wife loves Chuba Hubbard. No, seriously. That is your sound check. On the phones at 855-212-4CBS, Ron is in Wisconsin this morning weighing in on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Ron, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, D.A. You know, I kind of felt like Terry Bradshaw. I'm 65. You know, that Aaron is being a prima donna and he's being petty and all this. But last night I was at the Vince Quinn show and he was talking about how Jake Kumerow was actually a defining event for him when they traded him. And that kind of puts things in a different perspective. Aaron works his ass off and he's talented. And he plays with two broken collarbones, came back in the Bear game on a bad knee and won the game. So I think he's thinking, I'm working my butt off to get another championship, and we're getting receivers in here that don't study that hard. They don't run the patterns. I had ones like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, and you gave them away. And I have to come in a game and tell the coach, I'm not getting anywhere with these receivers. They're not running their patterns. They're not open. Could you put Jake Kumerow in? He's at least the guy in practice that runs his patterns. I think that was when Devontae Adams was injured. So, and then he goes on the radio, I think Pat McAfee's, who's, you know, likes to be interviewed by, and he says, I love Jake Kumerow. He's reliable. He's there when I need him. And the next day they get rid of him. So he's like, what do I have to do to get some help winning a Super Bowl here?
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about, Ron, is that I think that Rodgers making this personal with Brian Gutekunst reportedly wanting him fired feels overtly and overly personal and petty. I mean, GMs do have a job to do. They've got to build a roster around you. And Gutekunst has been pretty good at building a roster and hiring coaches that have helped you get to back-to-back NFC championship games. It's not like this is a garbage roster, like you took over the Jaguars or dragged the Bengals to the AFC or NFC title game. But to your point, I think when it comes to the drafting of Jordan Love, it feels like Rodgers has every right to say, hey, I need help instead of my replacement here. We got to get better instead of getting to 3 years down the road. Let's get better today. And that frustration, I agree with Rodgers. That frustration always, to me, was just a simple football equation. We need to get better today to win a Super Bowl because we're this close. How can we not do that? And I agree with that, but I would say that Gutekunst, it's hard for me to argue with his wide receivers because Davante Adams is one of the best in the NFL, if not the best in the NFL. He's got a series of guys that he seems to have a good relationship with, that he's been very productive, and last year put up an MVP season, his best ever. So is it the receivers? To me, instead of Jordan Love, you draft defensive help last year and this year to make sure they can carry their end of the bargain. Jimmy is in Seattle this morning on the show. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, first of all, I mean, what happens if Rodgers goes down? I mean, you just mentioned he's got the gimpy knee. He's been, you know, if he goes down with an injury, they need to have a guy that can come in there and perform at a high level. And first of all, Gutekunst brought his guy in. Every GM wants to bring their own QB in, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is not his guy, but he wants to prepare the team to have a competent backup in case something happens. And one other thing, man, with Montana, man, they call it the catch. They never called it the throw. So never liked Montana. And I'll end on that note.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. I know who never liked Montana. Are you saying you never liked Montana? You never liked one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, who was the ultimate clutch 2-minute drill, Joe Cool quarterback? You just didn't like him because they nicknamed the Dwight Clark catch the catch, not the throw. Kind of. Anyway, on Rodgers, yeah, well, if Rodgers goes down, like if any star quarterback goes down, you're screwed. What team isn't screwed if their quarterback goes down? If Tom Brady goes down last year, what was it, Blaine Gabbert that was going to come in? I mean, everybody is screwed. Everybody is always screwed if your star quarterback goes down. But are you telling me that Jordan Love is ready right now? Had Rodgers been injured last year, Jordan Love would have been absolutely not ready. And apparently he's not ready yet as well in year number two or year number three yet. So Gutekunst could go out there and get a veteran QB ready to keep the team running, but he doesn't have that right now. He got a project for after Rodgers is no longer there, not while Rodgers is there. Standing by with our headline this morning here on the DA Show is Brad Heller. Mr. Heller, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, DA. Good to be back with you guys. We'll start in the NBA. Russell Westbrook, now the only player with multiple 20-assist and 20-rebound games in league history. He had 21 rebounds and 24 assists to go along with 14 points as the Wizards outscored the Pacers 154-141.
As a point guard and playing this position, you got to be able to make somebody around you better. And I feel like I take a lot of pride and effort and energy and time and watching film and to be able to make others around me better.
And Westbrook locking up a triple-double average for the fourth time in his career. The Warriors beat the Pelicans 123-108. Steph Curry outscored Zion 41-32. Draymond Green is used to Curry being a matchup nightmare.
Teams are terrified of him, you know, and everywhere he runs on the floor, you know, with or without the ball, teams are terrified. And, you know, with that type of gravity, you know, he pulled a lot of weight, you know, and you know, even when he's not the one, I could be the one making the pass, but it's him creating for other guys.
Meanwhile, LeBron James sat out, rested his sore ankle, but the Lakers still snapped a three-game losing streak, 93-89 over the Nuggets. Carmelo Anthony passing Elvin Hayes for 10th on the all-time scoring list, but the Blazers lost to the Hawks, 123-114. Five straight wins for the Sixers, 106-94 over the Bulls. Philly has a one-game lead on Brooklyn now for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. From the NHL, Capitals forward Tom Wilson could be facing a sixth suspension by the league after pummeling both Pavel Buchnevich and Artemi Panarin of the Rangers in a 6-3 win at Madison Square Garden. This is Rangers coach David Quinn.
Happens time and time again with him, and it's just it's totally unnecessary. And it's just, you all saw what happened. It's just zero respect for the game and the players and everybody involved.
The Rangers with the loss eliminated from the playoff hunt, which means the Bruins lock up a playoff spot. They blank the Devils 3-0. The Oilers clinched a playoff berth, a 5-3 win over the Canucks. Connor McDavid, 2 goals and 2 assists. He's now at 91 points in just 50 games. From baseball, Dodgers pitcher Dustin May needs Tommy John surgery, so done for the rest of this season and at least part of next season. White Sox outfielder Luis Robert, a torn hip flexor. He won't do any baseball activities for at least 3 to 4 months. The Cardinals have won 5 straight. They beat the Mets 6-5. Nolan Arenado, a 3-run homer. The Mets, after the game, firing their hitting coaches, Chili Davis and Tom Slater. Shohei Ohtani, his 9th home run, tying the Major League lead, but the Angels lost to the Rays 7-3. From the NFL, the Cowboys declining the fifth-year option for linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. He's missed 13 games over the last 2 seasons because of injuries. The Patriots are reportedly going to decline the fifth-year option for running back Sony Michel. D.A.
Thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you all morning long on the updates this morning as Heller is in for A.B. this morning. Coming up here on the show next, the Titans last year busted out with their first-round draft pick, no longer even on the team. This year, they're dealing with another headache with one of their draft picks. We'll discuss that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
You want to hit?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Your interpretive dance from Akbar Baja Biamila. Each and every morning here on the DA show, 43 minutes past the hour. Watch the show, won't you? It is mobile friendly. You'll love it. The graphics, the intermittent interludes, commercial breaks, videos, all of the background, and a chat room for D-Aliens, all available on Twitch. Check it out. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there every single morning. Weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. On Twitch and on watchda.com. That's a mobile friendly URL, so you can watch that on any device, including your phone. A year ago, the Tennessee Titans had a busted draft pick, Isaiah Wilson. They drafted him in the first round, and Isaiah Wilson ended up having some major mental issues. His commitment to football obviously has been a disaster. Off the field, his acts have been disastrous. Last year, barely got on the field as a first-round draft pick, and in the offseason, the Titans cut bait with him. That's about as bad as it gets. If you only get one abridged season from your first-round draft pick and not because of injury, if your first-round draft pick cannot commit to any type of discipline, any type of want, any type of responsibility on the field, off the field, for football, for his personal life, you didn't do much or enough scouting on that, or you took a flyer even though you knew, and it blew up in your face. And the Titans have to own that. Isaiah Wilson is going to end up going down in history as one of the worst first-round draft picks of the last decade. He was so bad even with the second chance. The Dolphins said, you know what? We don't think he's worth it. So a first-round NFL draft pick out of the league in a year, whether it's drugs, mental instability, immaturity, unprofessionalism, all of the above, whatever that is, the Titans have acted as though, well, we could have never seen this coming. He's a different guy than when we drafted him, but that's not true. Because there were red flags on him that forced other people around the draft to say he's a mid-round talent. And they drafted him in the first round. People knew that there was baggage coming with Isaiah Wilson. So you would think 1 year later, the Tennessee Titans would be super careful with their picks. That they would absolutely look at the personalities, the histories, the baggage, and all of that. I mean, if you had just been burned by Isaiah Wilson a year ago, if you were just coming out of that weeks ago, would you not make sure you market corrected yourself this year? Would you not make sure you did all of the research, spoke to all of the people, and made sure that you erred on the side of good guys, of guys that had their heads on straight, of guys that weren't problems. And by the way, they're not that hard to find. I'm not sure how much of the draft you watched or how many of the post-draft interviews you heard, but man, I was so impressed by so many of these guys. So many players had a good head on their shoulder, came from a background that might have led you astray, but they had found a way and found a light and found a purpose, or they came from good backgrounds or good programs or good high schools or good families. I was so impressed continuously with how many good guys there were in this draft. And I just talked about Najee Harris yesterday. Talk about a good guy. Najee Harris spent years of his childhood in a homeless shelter with his mom and three siblings, and on draft day threw a draft party at that homeless shelter. Forget balling out somewhere or flying to Cleveland to be part of the festivities. He catered an event at the shelter for everybody in that shelter and told all of them that I'm here for you no matter how big I get, no matter where I am in the NFL, no matter where my career takes me, I'm here for you guys. I mean, talk about a great guy. So when the Tennessee Titans in the fourth round select Rashad Weaver, a couple of weeks after he is charged with simple assault, after an ugly incident in Pittsburgh on April the 18th, it makes you wonder, why would the Titans do this again? According to a criminal complaint that was filed in Pittsburgh's district court on Friday, okay? So this is on Friday, in the middle of this draft. Police officers found a woman lying on the ground, surrounded by a group of people at 2:30 in the morning in Pittsburgh. Those at the scene say a large man punched that woman. And one of the witnesses said it was Weaver who was that large man who punched that woman. Now, that's just one witness, and you might say there's no evidence there, and that's fine. But according to the charge, according to this complaint that was leveled, Weaver and the woman got into an argument at this bar. Officers separated the two after Weaver said she spilled a drink on him. There were obviously authorities on the scene. And one of the quotes in this statement, one of the quotes in this criminal charge, is that when he was being questioned by the police that were there, admitted if he had to punch a woman, he would. This is actually a quote in the criminal charge, in the criminal complaint, rather, that this is what law enforcement said he said. Now, I don't know about you, but this information being available right as he's being drafted would suggest that if you did any research whatsoever, had any resources whatsoever, you would have heard about this incident. Why would the Titans go down this road again? Why would the Titans go down the road of wondering about the stock, about the ability, about the baggage, about the background of one of their draft picks after what happened last year? I have no idea. I have no idea why you wouldn't learn from your mistakes. Is Rashad Weaver the difference between you getting to a Super Bowl or not? Is Rashad Weaver worth that risk in the fourth round to have to deal with now this guy? Maybe he's eligible. Maybe he's not. Maybe he gets a criminal charge against him. Maybe he doesn't. But still, you've got to navigate this. I don't understand why the Titans, a year after dealing with what they dealt with, already having to deal with another headache. And if this is true, if their fourth round pick punched a woman outside of a bar, then even worse, if this is true, even worse, you want that guy on your roster? You want that guy as a fourth round pick? You want that guy as one of your rookie class? I mean, for what? For what? What's the win there? That part of it, I have no idea. I don't understand. And I think for the Titans, you're getting a little too loose if this is something that you can rationalize away after what happened last year in the draft and dealing with that. The complaint says the victim went to the hospital with vomiting and was diagnosed with a concussion a few days later, which might happen if you got punched and dropped by somebody much larger than you. It is a Trash Tuesday, so I want your trashes here on the show, okay? I want your trashes. I want to know what is frustrating you. We here on the show have our trashes coming up next hour, and so stick around for that. But if you guys have something bugging you, hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We were just talking earlier about Terry Bradshaw saying that it makes Aaron Rodgers look weak. Strong words, look weak, that he is upset about the Jordan Love draft pick. Obviously, we've spent a lot of time talking about this. Mraz, what do you think about Terry Bradshaw calling Rodgers weak in the wake of this?
I think that's a completely fair word to use for Aaron Rodgers there because, look, plenty of quarterbacks, it's okay to be irritated. It's okay to be ticked off if the team that you are playing for is suddenly going and drafting a quarterback, but to complain about it and call for your general manager to be fired or else, if that is in fact true what he's doing, that is weak. You should just play your heart out, do what you're doing. You just won an MVP. The Packers clearly know that you're still good, and we haven't heard word about whether Jordan Love is ready or not. Clearly the Packers wanted to bring him back, and frankly, at the same time, when you're openly talking about Jeopardy and wanting that job, I mean, what is the organization supposed to feel like on the other end? So I do think that Aaron Rodgers comes across as weak. It doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve to be ticked off at the team, but making ultimatums, if that's true, that is weak.
So where's that line, though, that Aaron Rodgers is weak because he doesn't like them drafting Jordan Love, but has every right to be frustrated?
I think a better way to handle it would be you wasted a draft pick on Jordan Love because I'm going to play so good that it makes no sense for you to put Jordan Love on the field in the next 4 years, 5 years. I think that would be the opposite of weak while being irritated, letting the organization know they're the ones who wasted the pick. You're going to make sure that it was wasted, and you go off and you play the way you played last year.
It's interesting because for Aaron Rodgers, there's a line here where you could totally see his point, and that is that the Packers were in the NFC Championship game when they did this. Rodgers was only 36 years old, so you feel like Rodgers, when we're watching Tom Brady and Drew Brees do what they've done up until they're in their 40s, and of course Brady beyond, that there's more good football left in Rodgers, and you would feel like, well, okay, if you help out Rodgers, then you've got a better chance, or help out the roster, you've got a better chance of winning a Super Bowl and take advantage of that right now. So I think that's where it is very understandable the frustration that Rodgers would have with the Jordan Love pick. The flip side is, do you make it the end-all, be-all, and you will retire if the guy that did that is not fired? And that feels dramatic. It feels melodramatic. It feels very diva-ish as well. And that's where I think the weakness part of it comes in. You shouldn't feel threatened by Jordan Love enough to want the guy fired, but you might feel like we missed an opportunity to get ourselves to a Super Bowl. But where is that line? That's an interesting question to ask. When we come back here on the DA Show, LeBron hates the play-in tournament, but is he actually a hypocrite? That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.